The spring of 2019 saw a super bloom in California's desert southwest. A super bloom means the wildflowers blossom abundantly and they last longer than usual. Conditions have to be just right for a super bloom to occur. On average, that's maybe once a decade. Substantial fall and early winter rains, cold daytime temperatures, and cold nights encourage the seeds and roots to store up moisture so that when the warm spring sun hits them, they produce a joyful riot of color and texture in the desert landscape. Maybe that's the sort of image Isaiah had in mind when he wrote, "The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting." This section of the prophet Isaiah's words comes from the years after Israel was conquered by neighboring Assyria and her people taken into slavery. Maybe he meant that's what it would feel like when the exiles returned to Israel from captivity. Maybe he meant the return would feel joyful, the way spring blossoms brighten the desert landscape with shades of green and pink and yellow and orange. But maybe also he meant for us to hear those words metaphorically, not as a judgment against the desert, for the desert is being exactly what God created it to be, a land of golden sand and rocks carved by wind and time, a seedbed for cacti and short scrubby trees, a climate suitable for some varieties of snakes and frogs, leopards and gazelles, hyenas and camels. When God created all that, God pronounced it all good. No, Isaiah was not judging God's creation or God at all. But I do believe this imagery and the contrast Isaiah draws between barren wilderness and the land saturated with water and producing abundant flora and fauna can help us talk about the barren spaces of life, places pregnant with possibility, where the God seeds of love and mercy and justice are waiting to be born. Maybe Isaiah can help us believe that sacred spaces exist in us and elsewhere. Mary's song, also called the Magnificat, sings of what the world looks like when the God seeds of love and mercy and justice take root and grow. "Lifting up the lowly," she says, "feeding the hungry, equalizing the economy, leveling the playing field." It's a song filled with hope as well as joy. Contemplative author Richard Rohr says, "Mary is the great yes that humanity forever needs for Christ to be born in the world. She is the archetype of how to receive what God is doing and hand it on to others." Now, in literature, an archetype is a character or a symbol that represents the universal. To say that Mary is the archetype for us is to say she shows us what it means to let the Christ be born in us. While in scripture, it feels like her response to the angel is immediate, it comes without hesitation. For many of us, saying yes to God meets with obstacles and obfuscation and can take quite some time to gestate. For instance, the path that led me here was years, was decades in its gestation. Now, I have always been able to memorize words easily, which was a great advantage when going through school. Vocabulary, mathematical formulas, music, even a foreign language were all easy things for me to commit to memory. At some point in my youth, I realized I had committed the entire communion liturgy to memory. Or at least I thought I had. So on a particular communion Sunday after our midday meal, I asked my mother for a glass of grape juice and a slice of bread. And I went to my room and I arranged 12 chosen stuffed animals in a circle and proceeded to serve them communion, breaking the bread and sharing the cup to each one of them. Some three decades later, when I told that story to the District Committee on Ministry as part of my initial interview with them, the head of committee asked me why it took me so long to say yes to God. It was clear to her, even though it had never been to me, that I had already been practicing making sacred space. I didn't have an answer for her question at that time. I know that my mother was amused that I was serving communion to my favorite stuffed animals. I know that my parents never discouraged me when I thought I wanted to be an astronaut or the first woman president or nuclear scientist. I know that I learned a lot and was fascinated by the one religion class I took in college, Steve Humphreys Brooks, talking about the Gospels. But I was also fascinated in college by Introduction to Anthropology, by music history, by Shakespeare. Pastoral ministry didn't cross my mind, not in high school, not in college, not till I was in, I think it was my fourth post-college job. Maybe, like the desert plants that wait a decade or more for a super bloom season, the seeds in me were not ready to spring to life, were not ready to say yes until they were nourished in the dark and cold of a long winter season of my own making. But I know that when I did finally say yes, that my world blossomed in ways I could never have imagined, places I didn't realize were barren until they weren't any longer. And I know that what is growing in me has had a positive impact on those around me. And maybe my little corner of the world isn't so barren anymore because I said yes to God. I said yes to possibility and yes to new life. And the more the seed of God grows in me, the more I am able to see every space as a sacred space. Sacred because God already created it and God already blessed it. John sent his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" There are people in our community, people in our workplaces, maybe even in our own families, who are waiting in the barren wilderness, wondering if new life will ever spring forth abundantly for them, wondering if a light will ever shine on their low estate, if things will ever change, if poverty, if racism, if hatred, if despair, if fear will ever be erased, if hunger or thirst or need will ever be satisfied. They are waiting for the one who will share the light of love and mercy and justice to them. They are looking to you and to me, asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else?" As a church, we are preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I told you last week, and I say it to you again today, the Christ, the seed of God, is already present in this world, present from the first day of creation, present in you and in me. What remains to be seen is whether we will each open ourselves and say yes to the possibilities that lie within us. Yes to birthing a sacred space in our own lives. Yes to bringing sacred to the places we visit and inhabit. Mary has already shown us how to receive what God is doing and how to hand it on to others. We are sacred people with the image of the Christ already in us. We live in the sacred now. We need not wait any longer to say yes to God and initiate a super bloom of sacred in our world. Amen.